It's not exact match to our records, but it's close enough that we understand it. Well, then the county treasury looked at it and they said, oops, we gave it to the high school, so they've done a journal entry. It's about $120,000 that's coming our way that had originally gone to the high school. And that's not the high school's fault, and it's not our fault. That happened at the county treasury. So we have those things still going on, but I think the majority of the $1.5 million has been accounted for. We're just looking for the remainder of whether it is in our accounts or whether it isn't, and we need to add it to our accounts. So.
So May 13th, put that on your calendar in the morning. Do you want to just come for the Q&A or do you want to come for lunch? Reminders, the next steps continue. So continue to review and evaluate the budget. That's what I've been doing. Work on estimated actuals. That's the next step. Estimated actuals is when I start clearing out those negatives and positives and seeing how much more is going to be ending fund balance so I can give you a better estimated ending fund balance. And that goes along with the budget development and the adopted budget. So you will see that in May, estimated actuals and the adopted budget on those forms, SACS forms. And the recommendation, as a CBO and as a person that's been looking in your books, I have to say, wait on May in major expenditure decisions. And I will say until you review the proposed 26-27 budgets. I have been saying that. I feel like I'm very close to the budget to looking at these numbers. Yes, there's money that usually we don't spend and it goes back, but in this case, most of that money is for the restricted side. And again, I will continue to work on it because I want to make sure, too, that I get as much back into that fund balance as we can. And then the second recommendation is to create a fiscal budget committee. I know the board can do that, can create a committee, and I don't know if you've done this in the past, but it helps for that additional transparency and to work with others, and I just need by myself in that office looking at these numbers. Also to work with staff, part of the committee, and to proactively tackle the deficit spending.
I like that idea.
And that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll say I wanted to thank you. I've met with Anna twice now in her office, and she's been educating me a bit about the financials. So I feel like I'm having a better understanding. I was a bit concerned about the retained earnings over the next 3 years that we need to hit for financial uncertainty. So she's been educating me on that, and I realized this is why I failed accounting in college. So. So I got a lot of work to do, but I am understanding it much better, so I do thank you for your time on that.
Thank you.
Communication from the public on items not on the agenda. There's no communications. We'll move on to the consent agenda. Are there any questions, comments, or concerns about the consent agenda? If there's not, can I have a motion to accept the consent agenda, please?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, consent agenda passes. On to action items. 5.1, FFA conference, Indiana, in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Yeah, so as you all are aware, if we have anything that goes out of state, we need to bring it to you. And so we have the FFA conference in Indianapolis, Indiana, coming up. I don't know if I have the date. Let's look.
October. 18th to 25th.
Right. And so we're bringing it forward for approval October 18th through the 26th. And it will be three students will be attending that will still be at Bear River, and five will be attending that will have moved on to Wheatland Union High School, along with a couple of staff members. So we can entertain any questions that you may have. This is an annual conference that they typically go to, and it's always in Indianapolis, isn't it?
It's always in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Greg. All the winners, all the kids in the Anderson.
Right.
And so we've got people that are moving on to the international level, and some of the other officers that participated, but they came in second, and it's only fair that they get to go. That's a lot of work.
Can you explain how that is funded, please?
Yeah, so there's no district funding for the FFA conference. It comes from either fundraising, the FFA account, grants, or parent has to pay a portion. So the reason it's coming forward to you is because our students are going out of state. But there is no funding required by the district for the FFA. The other two that are coming up are different, but that is, and Ange, if I misspoke.
Teachers, what's it cost us for the teachers to go?
The teachers are paid out of the admin center grant, so it doesn't cost the district.
Okay.
That's written into the grant, and that's why we write the grant so feverishly when we do that. So that is built into the grants.
And if then ever that grant dries up, then you have to look for a different avenue if they're still going to go. But hopefully they'll continue to fund. I mean, the state is really into funding FFA grants. It is more difficult for a middle school than it is for high school to get that funding, but we've done well with getting the funding.
Okay, if there's no more questions, can I have a motion to accept 5.1 FFA conference in Indianapolis, Indiana, please?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, 5.1 passes. 5.2, Renaissance Staff Training, Orlando, Florida.
Okay, so this is the Renaissance, so you're all aware of what Renaissance are. It's the Jostens Renaissance Global Conference. They have it on a yearly basis. We do not go every year. This year it is in June, June 13th through the 16th. There'll be one administrator and six teachers attending. The pay for this comes out of either the Renaissance Fund or Title II. Our Title II is for staff development. It cannot pay for the administrator, but it can pay for some of the teacher costs to attend this staff development. And it is something that we highly recommend to keep our Renaissance program moving in the right direction. And as you are all aware, we've been nationally recognized for our Renaissance program. So this
is it staff from all sites?
No.
No, it's just Bear River.
So why don't, just from my own understanding, why don't we have like one staff from, because since they do it at their sites as well to bring
they're
it to.
Welcome to Institute. We just put it in.
I was just curious, you know.
It's not that they can't go, it's just that our team put it together.
And the idea of training new people is because many of our Renaissance teachers are veteran and they're getting close to being gone. And so if we want to keep that program sustainable over the next, you know, 20 years, you've got to train new people, new blood. And so certainly, I think we have sent before one or so people from each of the sites, and the principals can look at that. We certainly could have the funding available to do one.
And I think we do need to get the new people absolutely to keep it going. It's amazing. I just think if we're doing it at the other sites, that it would be nice that new people at the other sites could keep it going as well.
Yeah, I get you.
It'd be nice if it was, if they knew that that was something that, you know.
Yeah, because it's in June, it's not, the teachers do not get paid for their time. They volunteer to go over there. We pay for the flight, the hotel, and the conference, but they're not being paid.
Yeah,
who the six teachers are.
Oh, yeah, I can tell you who the six teachers are. They're in the book. It's Heather Alamillo, it's Donita, it's, Amanda Taylor, it's Kelsey Christensen, it's, we have changed it, so it was going to be Brianna Lee and Tiffany Trigaro, but it's,
so there's at least one, four, five in there, too.
No, there's two, yeah, so we, oh, Vanessa Marshall, I knew there was two, four, five, so it was Vanessa Marshall that had gone, and then on the 6-8, there's one more.
Is it Jenna Borden?
Jenna Borden, thank you.
And you, as the.
It changed between the times. And right now, yes.
Okay, just curious. Yes. All right.
Want to say something?
Any other questions?
Do we know how much it's going to cost to go?
So the total for it, I have to add it up for it. Off the top of my head, I'm going to say it was about $6,000, whatever they do with the airfare, the hotels, and the things, because we share rooms.
Yeah.
So, we heard a lot and try to minimize the cost as much as possible. Most of the fees will be built in. The nice thing about Renaissance Conference, when you go with, you do provide a number of your meals, and there's like three meals that we have to buy, but most of them are built in the conference. So how we broke it up is the actual conference itself, Title II pays for it, because that is an educational conference for the teachers. The foundation picked up the cost of the hotel rooms, and then the school site, my budget picked up the cost tied to get them there.
Okay.
So we tried to break it up so that it was equitable, so that it's not the foundation that's taking the lion's share of the money, because the purpose of the foundation that we've done over the last few years is making sure we buy the t-shirts for the preschools, Lone Tree, we want to, that everybody's getting a portion of the cost of the money.
Six is a lot less than I thought it would be, so.
Yeah, it's a reasonable conference.
Well, for seven.
Expensive, but what we get out of it is fundamental. And the difference between Northern Conference, and I do recommend the other schools trying to put teams together at some point or representing them, is we get ingrained in what we do at the school site. And so you assume that we're doing just all of the magic. The thing that happens when you go to that is it takes that creativity to a whole new level. You see how other sites are doing it. That's where we got the idea for Bear River TV when we went. It just globally opens you up to a different way of perspective, different way of thinking, and a different way of applying some of those things to help keep the program fresh. The other thing it does is it instills in you that why, as an educator, when we go, it is a lot of extra work. I mean, the amount of time that we ask those teachers to put in to put that stuff on is always, a lot of that happens outside of the school hours. It puts that balance back in your step as the adult that is being expected to do that. And it gives them a bigger picture, because you feel it. They put on a Renaissance rally for adults, in essence. So they get to feel what it feels like from the kid perspective, because they're living it as if they were one of the students that is participating in that rally. So it's kind of puts a twist on things, and it.
I get it, I do.
Questions, can a motion please?
So moved.
And a second?
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 5-2 passes. Staff will be going to Orlando, Florida for Renaissance training. 5.3. UFLI Conference, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yes, so we have Johnny Thompson. I have her here to, if you have any questions. She is asked to go to basically a reading conference in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we have Title II funds that will fund her to attend this. It's part of the needs for our intervention, and I highly recommend that we allow her to go to this. Again, it's in the summertime, June 28th through the 30th. She'd probably have to leave the 26th or 27th. It's approximately $2,000, and we are covering it with district funds for teacher improvement. If you have any questions about the conference, I'll let Johnny answer that.
Would you mind telling us just a little bit about what the goal is for the training? A summary would be great.
So what it is, let me back up a little bit. So what we've been doing, UFLY, which stands for University of Florida Literacy Institute, for the last three years, and there wasn't PD when I first brought it in, so I trained myself, and so now that they have PD, I'm
on the entire site.
Yeah, only 30 teachers. But so I trained 30 staff members at our site on how to implement this. And it's a phonics phonemic awareness program that is I'm doing in intervention kindergarten through fifth grade. But this year, we have now implemented it starting in kindergarten through second grade. And all the teachers are doing it in their, it's kind of like, I don't know if you've heard, it's our skill group time. So it's a 45-minute every day that they are getting this program to make them help them become better readers. So basically during the program, I'll be learning more about the research-based knowledge, which is the science of reading. There'll be comprehensive training materials and how to handle the lesson routine. There will be instructional strategies, how to progress monitor, which is huge because if those kids are moving up, they need to be gradually moving with their skills also. There is also direct support for myself and the rest of the teachers that are out there, guidance how to collaborate and to train incoming teachers, as well as constantly having a check of fidelity to make sure that we're doing it to the best of our ability for the kiddos.
We will have a minimum of 3 teachers on our site next year because of the teacher party, and I can tell you the city goes to every SST that we and is able to explain to the parent in depth whether the child has gaps or where they have improvement in their reading skills. And it is not just your child can read another grade level. She's very specific and explicit in getting that down.
If you remember back at the beginning of the year, Cunningham, thank you, and Johnny did a presentation on the growth of these kids that are there, what they're getting in these intervention classes, and now to move it down to the regular classroom is really going to be, I think it's really going to be helpful to the children, and so it's something that I think is really making a big difference for our kids.
And one little happy dance I wanted to tell you about, and I told Jody this a couple weeks ago, was when I first started 3 years ago doing the intervention, you know, I had a full group of fifth graders. This is the first trimester that all of our fifth graders that I had in intervention are out. So I have no fifth graders in my intervention class anymore. So
that's
amazing.
Thing.
Good job.
So that's my job. I want you out of my class.
Yep.
I've known Johnny for we've been in this district a very long time. Yeah. And this is the happiest I've seen this lady. And truly what she does every day is pay back tenfold with children. Every day.
I love it.
I have a question. Is this the same program we're using district-wide? So this is also used at Wheelandale as well? So you're going to the conference this year, and we'll share back with Megan what?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Okay.
If there's no more questions, can I get a motion to accept sending Johnny to North Carolina's conference, please?
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Congratulations, John. You're going to conference. Okay, 5.4, job description updates. Okay.
So we have 3 openings that will be openings. We have our payroll specialist. So our payroll person is leaving at the end of the month, going to the county office. And so whenever we have somebody that is leaving our district, it's time to look at their job descriptions and update them. And so we have the payroll specialist job description that Anna wrote, and I went through it, and I think it really sums up. Some of our job descriptions are ancient, and so it's a good time to do that. We have our school nurse job description. That one did not change much because it was updated a few years ago. And then we have this administrative assistant job description update. And so with job descriptions, they, if they're in a union, you have to take the job description to the union first and then get it approved by the board. But since all of these are confidential or outside of a union, they do not have to be approved by any unions. So I bring those forward for your approval. We do have a task at hand, I think, to go through job descriptions that are very old and update them, and I would say that's a good project for HR to start at the beginning of next year.
So. These are all replacement positions, no new positions,
correct.
So no real budget effects.
No.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Job description updates passes. No problem. TSIP contract with Calusa Yuma County.
So this comes to you annually. We have a contract with to provide TSIP. It used to be called BITSA. It's the beginning teacher. They have to do it to get their clear credential. If you look at the contract, we do option one where we provide the mentors versus paying the county to, and it's not Yuba County, it's Sutter County, paying the county to do the mentorship. We like to do it ourselves. We have all that built into the contract. So this is just the contract for next year. At one point it was free to all teachers. Then it became a cost. We have always covered the cost of the new teachers because asking them to pay $1,500 or whatever for the staff development is tough when you're a brand new teacher. So we've covered the cost of the teacher side and we cover the cost of the mentors. There is no other cost associated with that.
And it's option one, so it's $2,210 per candidate?
Yeah, the option, let me look, I'm gonna make sure I don't misspeak. Nope, option two, sorry. It's option two, the district agrees to provide written verification of the vote selection. We select our people, they're already our teachers. We pay them, we do not pay, thank you for pulling that. We do not pay Center County Office $2,200, we pay it to our people. That's option two. Sorry, Nicole.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 5.5, contract with Calusa Yuba County passes. Board comments. Any board comments? Perfect. Closed session.